Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to get directly into the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to look at two verses this morning. And this morning, the Lord has put a specific message on my heart, and I want to share it with you this morning. What I want to speak to you about for the next few moments, or I want to discuss, is how to overcome stress. Someone say stress. How to overcome worry and anxiety. How many have ever dealt with extreme pressure and anxiety? You know, I was doing some research, and I found that according to the Anxiety Depression Association of America, they say that anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting over 40 million adults. The Gallup poll says that, check this out, their research says that 8 out of 10 Americans have reported feeling extreme stress at least twice within the day. I've also found that 85% of what you worry about will never actually happen. Come on, that's a good place to clap. Because we are living in the day and age where people constantly stress out over nothing. Are you hearing me? 500 years ago, a man by the name of Michael Montage said this: "My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened." So today what I want to talk to you about is I want to talk to you about how do we live a lifestyle of peace when our world feels like it's falling apart? Amen. How do we walk in peace? How do we walk around with a smile on our face when it seems like no one is there for us? Somebody wave at me if you've ever been there. How do we overcome extreme depression? Because the reality is, you can be in a room this size full of people and still feel all alone. People every day go to school. Young kids go to school. And it's interesting because I even with my son, I speak to my son Josiah, and sometimes I ask him about his school day. And not too long ago, I was talking to him, and he was telling me how this one young boy was sitting all by himself, and he seemed sad, so he sat with him. That happens in real life. That's happening in our schools. And quiet as it's kept, it happens even as adults. We can be in a room of 500 people surrounded with a good atmosphere and still feel all alone. So today I want to talk to you about something very practical, but what I want to talk about is how to live a lifestyle of peace and holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, 14 and 15 says this. It says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone." How many know that's hard sometimes, to live in peace with everyone, right? It says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." Let's pray one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would please be with me. I ask that you would anoint my life. I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds so that we may hear whatever it is your word wants to communicate to us. Teach us, Father, to overcome stress and anxieties. I ask, Father, that you would teach us to walk in peace and to live a life of holiness. Teach us, oh God, speak to our hearts and help us to break through and break forth. Father, we love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. You know, when you look at the scripture we opened up with, the author is encouraging God's people to be at peace because the people that he was writing to was experiencing extreme persecution. If we were to read a few chapters earlier, we would find that in Hebrews chapter 10, the author encourages the people to hold on to their faith and to not let go and forget about their sacred trust. See, what was happening in the Bible during this time, the Christians were being persecuted. Many were being hunted, and they were not free to worship God freely. So in chapter 10 of Hebrews, the author writes to them, and he is encouraging these people, don't lose your sacred trust in God. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the author challenges the people to hold on to their faith, and he reminds them of different people within the Bible that held on till the very end. How many want to make it till the very end? Right? And now here we find ourselves, and they're experiencing extreme persecution, they're being hunted, and whoever is writing to them, because many scholars, we really don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some people believe it was Luke. Some people believe it's the Apostle Paul. But in spite of whoever wrote the letter, he's encouraging them in spite of what they're going through. He tells them, you have to make every effort to live at peace with everyone and stay holy. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm experiencing extreme pressure, when my life is full of conflict, the last thing that I feel is peace. And the last thing I feel like being is being holy. Are you hearing me? Right? How many know that it's easy to lose your peace? Parents, talk to me. Right? If you're a parent, you know what it's like to want some peace and quiet. And if you have children that are the same age roughly, and they start bickering and fighting over something that's very meaningless. Come on, somebody, work with me. Right? I got two little boys, eight and six, and they fight over the littlest things sometimes. Right? One has the iPad. What are you watching? No, I don't want to show you. What do you mean watching? And then all of a sudden you hear them screaming, be quiet! Parents, have you ever lashed out on your kids? Stop if you don't. I'm not going to swing it. I'm just going to show it. When I was growing up, we got spanked. Today, you got to be careful. But my father just had to look at me, and I was like, it's easy to lose your peace. It's easy to lose your peace when you're driving on your way to work and somebody cuts you off. Somebody work with me. Right? What about when someone is really rude? Right? Or arrogant? Right? You're trying to be nice, and someone's just rude. It's easy to lose our peace. But how does somebody stay peaceful when someone is trying to pick an argument, right? How does someone find peace when their world is falling apart? How does someone keep their peace when they're at conflict within themselves, right? How does someone live at peace when their world is full with extreme chaos? See, that's the question that I want to answer today. But in order to answer this question, we have to first define peace and study what the Bible has to say about pursuing a lifestyle of peace. When you look at the word peace, we would find that it has several different meanings. The dictionary defines peace as being free from disturbance and a state of tranquility, right? So if you look it up on dictionary.com or Merriam's Dictionary, it will give you some sort of a definition that basically frees you from your problems for a moment. Are you hearing me? But what you have to understand about peace is that there are two types of peace. The first peace is a tranquil peace, which is defined as free from disturbance. This type of peace is found through activity, pleasure, or some sort of distraction. Have you ever had to do something just to get your mind off of your stress? Right? For example, tranquil peace is found when you go to your happy place. How many have a happy place? Right? Where we seek distraction, or we go to the spa, we go for a run, or we leave on vacation, leaving all our problems behind. People spend their entire lives in search of tranquility, right? But the one thing I need you to understand about this type of peace, the type of peace that will grant you pleasure, the type of peace that will give you tranquility for a moment through some sort of activity. This type of peace is temporary. This type of peace will take away your stress for the moment that your mind is busy. See, that's tranquil peace. But then there's this other type of peace, which is known as godly peace. Godly peace can only be found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you look at biblically in the Old Testament people used to view peace as someone that was complete, someone that lived in soundness and had well-being. And it was believed in the Old Testament that if someone had peace, peace was granted by God or obtained because people followed a set of rules. So in the Old Testament, you had to follow the law. And if you followed the law, right, because back then it was pretty religious, right? And how many know that serving God is not about religion, it's about a relationship, right? So in the Old Testament, it was believed to be completeness, soundness, and well-being. And they believed that peace was given or obtained through the law. But when we look into the New Testament, peace often refers to tranquility and poise of a person whose trust is in God through Jesus. This type of peace is not found at the spa or in the activity of a run or some sort of distraction. This type of peace was made available, listen to me, to you and I. There is a type of peace that you can not only live in, listen, that will guard your mind and guard your heart when you experience the worst things possible. But it's found in the Lord. Ephesians 2:13 says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace." Come on, it's going to get good here in a second. Isaiah 9 verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." Do you know that all your worries and all your troubles, you don't got to carry around like luggage? There are some of us that spiritually, we have like 6 backpacks. We're carrying this unnecessary luggage. We're carrying hurts from last year. We're carrying from the guilt of maybe something we did to somebody. And God said, "I forgave you." Listen, the stress of life was not meant to be put on your shoulders. That doesn't mean you're not going to experience bad things. That just means you don't have to be tormented by anxiety. You don't have to be tormented by stress. Listen, I read the end of the Bible, and at the end, we win. Right? There's going to be some things that I go through. There's going to be some things in life that are unfortunate. But at the end of the day, I know that one day I'm going to be with my God. I know that one day, if I walk in his ways, that me and my family will experience this type of peace. And we don't have to be bound by what the world suggests I have to be. See, years ago, I made a commitment to myself and my family that I wasn't going to submit to my circumstances. I think that we're living in a time where too many people are limited based off the tormented thoughts in their mind. The fear of failure. Because they're afraid to fail, they never really step out. Right? Because of the lack of peace, I am convinced we live in the world of chaos we do today. People who experience severe anger problems are people that lack peace. But how many know that we need to get out there? We need to tell people. But we first have to maintain our peace in order to speak to someone's anxiety. Back to Isaiah 9:6. "For to us a child was born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." See, there was a certain peace that entered into the earth's atmosphere when Jesus came from heaven to earth that didn't exist prior to him coming. There is a specific peace that Jesus extends to us through a relationship with him. I'll prove it. Romans 5:1 says this: therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because what Jesus did on the cross, you and I can walk and live with peace. Now, I don't know what your upbringing was, but I didn't grow up in church. I used to think that I wasn't good enough to go to church because of what my family was like. Now, this may be foreign to some, but I remember feeling unclean. I remember all my friends, they would all go to church, and we grew up Catholic. We grew up Catholic, and I remember all my friends would go to Mass, and then they'd come to church, they'd come to school, and they'd talk about, oh, I seen you on Sunday, I seen you at church, and then they'd come, hey, how come you don't go to church? And I'd be like, I don't know. And then one of them one time told me, you're going to go to hell. That messed with me as a kid. So I went home and I asked my parents, I said, why don't we go to church? My dad said, we don't believe in God. Yeah. That's what I grew up in. I bring that up to say that there are a lot of people that they won't even come to church because they don't feel like they're worthy or they're worth stepping in. You have to understand that we're living in a time of chaos and extreme anxiety. But because of what Jesus did for us, we don't have to live in that anxiety. See, this is important information to understand because the world we live in lacks peace. I mean, it is easy to lose our peace in a world full of anxiety. But what is beautiful for a believer is that we do not have to seek, listen to me, we don't have to seek to be free from disturbance to find peace. You can be in the midst of the storm and find peace at the center of your problems. We as God's people can live in peace in spite of the chaos, in spite of the hurts. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let your hearts be afraid. The New Living Translation says it like this: I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and of heart. And this peace, I give it as a gift. The world cannot give it to you, so don't be troubled or afraid. See, God has given us a peace that will guard our mind and our heart. This type of peace cannot be found within the world. There are so many people that chase after things in an attempt to find peace. Or they pursue a feeling. Peace is not about a feeling. If you search for peace in your feelings, you'll be tossed to and fro whenever life hits your heart. Peace is a state of your soul. It's a state of comfort. It's a state of knowing that my salvation comes from Him. And that no matter what happens to me on this earth, my salvation is secure in Him. And because of that, my soul can rest assured in spite of what I go through. We have to choose. Listen to me, church. We have to choose. Someone say choose. Choose. We have to choose to live a life of peace. We choose, listen to me, did you know that every morning you wake up, you choose to have a peaceful day or not? Like, it sounds funny, right? My wife told me that the other day, we have to choose to have a peaceful day. And I was like, that's true, right? Some of us got to wake up in the morning and look ourselves in the face and say, today you're going to have a good day. Don't look at me like I'm crazy because I do stuff like that. Today, Eric, you're going to have a good day. It's going to be amazing. Some of us have to start waking up in the morning and choosing to have a peaceful day. We have to choose to have a peaceful attitude. We have to learn, listen to me, as God's people, we have to learn to pursue peace. This was the essence behind the message the author was trying to get across to God's people in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, when he said, pursue peace. The King James Version says, follow peace with all people and holiness, without it which no one will see the Lord. Remember, these people were being heavily persecuted. They were being hunted. They weren't free to worship God freely. But here this author is telling them, in other words, in spite of what you are going through, in spite of your situation, you still have a responsibility to not only be at peace within yourself, but to maintain peace with all those you come in contact with. We have a responsibility as God's people to let peace show within our lives. Now, how do we maintain peace? You have to relentlessly, listen to me. This is the key to the whole message. It's simple. How do we maintain peace? You have to learn to relentlessly pursue it. Peace is not going to simply fall on our lap. If you've enlisted into the army of God, if you said, I want to be a soldier for the Lord, if you say in your heart, I want to follow God and I want to help people, the best words I could tell you is welcome to the war. Because we have an adversary that would love to take your peace. See, what the devil does is if he cannot get you to turn your back on God, he will do everything in his power to strip you of your peace. He will do everything in your power to bring insecurity into your household. He will do everything in his power to make sure you're unsettled in your spirit. Because in his mind, he knows, listen, if I could just get him to start having Jedi mind tricks within his own mind, he won't do nothing for the Lord. Are you hearing me? I've learned that in my life. Listen, I'm not going to say I'm an angry person. I think I used to be an angry person. But I'm a person that is always thinking. My mind is always racing. Like I at night, I'm looking at the ceiling and I'm thinking of all kinds of things, right? I'm always going through something. And I used to be a worrier. I worried about everything, right? But I've learned that within my life, I have to literally pursue peace on a daily basis. One of the things my wife constantly tells me, honey, don't lose your peace. Honey, don't lose your peace. Some of us have to engage in this battle, not against flesh and blood, but we got to learn to pursue peace. What does that word pursue mean? Well, if you look that word up in the Greek, it means this: to follow in order to overtake, to seek or to strive or to attain. In other words, when you're pursuing something, you're going after it to grasp it. And we have to be like that when it comes to peace. We have to go after peace, and we have to make sure that we attain it for our benefit. See, most people see peace as the absence of conflict. But understand this, peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. Peace has nothing to do with being absent of conflict. Listen to me. If we choose to follow the Lord, you're going to experience conflict. You just have to learn to deal with it in a different manner, knowing that your future is secure in who He is. As believers, we need to pursue peace. Listen, and this is in reference to relationships. We not only need to pursue peace, but we need to become professional peacemakers. We got to become professionals at making peace. Now this is good. We live in a world where we would rather just remove ourselves from conflict. I'm convinced that the lack of peace is the reason many relationships end. And did you know that peace proves our commitment towards another person? Follow me for a second. There are so many people today that they would rather remove themselves from a relationship because they don't lack peace or there's some sort of unresolved conflict. But we have to learn how to deal with conflict. We can't just act like it's not there. And how do we deal with it? By becoming a peacemaker, learning to pursue peace, learning to say, follow me, to say I'm sorry. Sometimes being a peacemaker means going up to somebody and say, will you please forgive me? What I said was completely terrible and wrong. We're living in a day and age where somebody would just cut a relationship. And that's that, you know, that That's hard for me to understand. People that have just grown together, right? People that develop strong relationships, but because of a disagreement, they can just cut somebody off, never talk to them again, never speak to them again. And that's something that the world teaches us. But as believers, we can't be like that. Like, if we have conflict within the church, we need to become professional peacemakers. We need to be people that learn to resolve conflict. We need to learn that there are people that are going to walk in the door that don't have all the manners in the world, and they might say something to us that rubs us the wrong way. But we have to learn to be peacemakers. 1 Peter 3, 8, 11 says this: finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with a blessing. How many know that God's ways are far from our ways, right? And again, when somebody says something crazy to me, the last thing I want to say is, God bless you, right? My natural, like I'm the guy that I want to say something back. No, hold on. We have to learn to be people, like the Bible says, to be sympathetic, loving one another, compassionate and humble. We can't repay evil with evil, but the Bible says repay with the blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good, and they must seek peace and pursue it. We got to seek peace. We got to go after peace. Well, what does that look like? I'll give you some things, some tangible things in a moment. But people who live a lifestyle of peace, they anticipate problems and they deal with them before they occur. And this is a skill we have to learn. Because some people are just like, there's people that are aggressive, there's people that are passive, and then there's people that are passive aggressive. Aggressive people are the people that they ain't got no problem telling you, hey, why are you being rude for? Don't talk to me like that. Right? Then there's somebody that's passive, right? Somebody's rude to them. You know what? I don't like how you're dressed. And they're like, and then they go home and they're just thinking about, I should have said this. And next time I see them, I'm going to say this. And you know what? Oh, how dare they? And people that are passive. But then there are people like myself that are passive aggressive. I'm passive. I let it slide. You could be rude to me. Okay. I laugh it off. You have to, what are you talking about? Don't talk to me like that. Right? People that are passive aggressive. What we need to learn to be, we can't be so aggressive. We can't be passive. We shouldn't be passive. We should be assertive. We should learn to stand our ground, know our worth, not come off prideful, but we need to be people that in our peace learn to speak our mind with wisdom. Are you hearing me? This is the characteristics of a peacemaker. People who pursue peace have a tendency, listen to me, to bring conflict into the open rather than have conflicts unresolved. And this is a great quality to develop, especially in our relationships, because unresolved conflict will rob you of your peace. Unresolved conflict will breed the silent treatment. Married couples, right? If she's silent, there's an unresolved conflict somewhere. Wives, if he's silent, he's not talking, there's an unresolved conflict. And one of the things that I've learned within marriage is it doesn't matter how long you've been married, we got to be careful that we don't breed dysfunction into our marriage, where we've developed this way of like something went unresolved, but we'll both get over it, so we're not going to deal with it. No, we have to deal with things, because later on, listen to me, conflicts will arise at the worst times. But we need to be people that learn to resolve conflict. See, making peace is not easy. It's hard work, but the results will always result in blessing. As godly people, we have to know that peace is foundational to godly living. I'm going to say it again. Peace is foundational to godly living. Peace is the foundational quality found in all three divine persons. The Father is the God of peace. Jesus was referred to as the Prince of Peace. And the Holy Spirit's fruit is peace. Therefore, if we are trying to be more like Jesus, how many know that peace needs to be a foundational piece within our lives if we are going to live holy and pleasing lives unto the Lord? This is why in our opening scripture again, the author said, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, what do peace and holiness have to do with each other? Actually, a lot. Peace and holiness go hand in hand. This is why we must make peace a foundational quality. Like, let's talk real briefly about the characteristics of a person who lacks peace. What are some behaviors of people that lack peace? Just shout them out to me. Someone who's always lack peace. Angry, irritable, anxious, hard to be around. Moody, right? Yet, discontented, anxious, loss of joy. They show anger, right? What kind of glory do we bring God if we're always disgruntled? Right? Hey, come to my church. Nah, bro, every time I talk to you, you're going through something at your household. And I heard you talking about your pastor last week. I ain't going to your church. We got to be careful with what we say at work. Sometimes, those people that we work with, they're like the closest people to us. We spend so many hours. But we have to understand the bigger picture. When you think of someone who lacks peace, they sometimes have characteristics of they're impatient, they're discontent, they live in anxiety, they lose their joy easy, they show signs of anger. But listen to the characteristics of a peaceful person, someone who's humble, they're content with life, they're steadfast. In other words, they're not rocked to and from, and they live in joy. See, that list is the list of a person or the characteristics of a person that I want to be around. People who lack peace, listen to me, are less likely to respond in a holy way when they experience turmoil. This is why the author said, make every effort to be at peace with everyone and be holy. Listen, holiness is still required from God. Because we're living in a day and age where people, like, we water down the gospel. We do things we know that God is not pleased with, and I don't know what standard we use, but we got to be careful that we don't lower our standard just because the world says it's okay. Listen to me, parents, I got news for you. PG-13 ain't PG-13 no more. Right? That was the standard. When I first had my kid, PG-13 was okay. PG-13 isn't okay anymore. Right? You have to monitor the things that you allow within your heart and how you live, but we have to be people that understand holiness is holiness. Holiness as defined in the Bible, not what I think, right? But someone who lacks peace is less likely to respond in a holy way. And that's what we have to understand, that peace and holiness is a lifestyle. So bringing it home, how do we do this? How do we live a lifestyle of peace? I want to give you three things briefly. Number one, you have to learn to put your entire trust in the Lord. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Some translation says steadfast on you because he trusts you. The Bible says there's this thing called perfect peace, and the Bible says that God keeps us in perfect peace when our minds are steadfastly on him because our hearts trust him. See, there are certain areas of our life we'll trust God. Like, we'll trust God for a miracle when we need it. My life depends on it, God. I need a healing. If not, I'm going to die. Right? But hey, I want you to go pray for that person at the grocery store. Oh, God, I'm not doing that. Right? What about when God asks us to let go of something, right, that we know is not right? I'm not talking about, like, we're talking about perfect peace is found when we trust God wholeheartedly. Now, I'm not saying that I have it all figured out, but what I can tell you is this, that I know where I place my trust. I'm willing to do what he says because I've tried not to listen a few. You know how we do that? Sometimes we have what's that listening called? Selective hearing? Oh, no, God's not talking to me. That wasn't for me. That was for him. Right? I'm nudging my wife. That word's for you. No, son, I'm speaking to you. Are you hearing me? Number one, we have to learn to truly trust God. Number two, how do we obtain peace? By developing a prayer life and learning, listen to me, to bring our anxieties before Him. Did you know that prayer is the antidote to anxiety? Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. There is a specific peace that is created to protect our mind and our heart that is only found in prayer. Like, we have to, when life hits us, listen, learn the art of pausing everything, turning everything off, and falling on your face before the Lord. We have to learn to bring our anxieties before God. Sometimes what we do when we have problems, the first thing we think of the person that's closest to us and we call them. And I hate to tell you, but sometimes the closest person to you is the last person you should be talking to about your problems. I got certain people, I'm going to be honest with you. I got people within my life. She said, please, my wife. I got people within my life. This is crazy, but I'm a man, I'm going to be honest. I have people within my life that when I just want to feel happy, I'll get around because I just want to be happy. I got people that I get around that encourage me and tell me good things about myself when I need to be uplifted. Come on, somebody, work with me. And I also got people, as sad as it's kept, that if I want them to have a pity party with me, that's who I go to. Listen, don't go to those people for answers when you need something that's going to determine the direction of your life. Don't look for someone to sympathize with you in your struggle. Look for somebody who will pray with you in your struggle and then guide you through the Word of God and then tell you the truth if you need it. I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, can I be honest with you? They said, I don't want you to lie to me. But we need to be people that learn to bring our anxieties before God. I'm not saying calling people that are bad. But if that's our habit and we call certain people because they're going to sympathize with us, your life will feel like a spiritual treadmill. You're going to be coming to church and you're going to be running on this treadmill. And you're going to get exhausted and tired. And you're going to be like, God, this thing ain't working. Well, God says, you haven't talked to me. You talk to him, you talk to her, you talk to your pastor. Not once have you come to me and asked me what you think. Are you hearing me? Number two, if we're going to develop a lifestyle of peace, we have to learn to pray. Number three, in order to develop a lifestyle, to live a lifestyle of peace, we have to develop a habit of reading God's word. Ephesians 6:15 says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. See, the word of God will keep you ready. The word of God has a way of bringing to remembrance the things that you need to know when your back is against the wall. Right? It's the word of God that will bring peace to your life and to a situation. Sometimes the word that you're going to get is not found here on Sunday morning, but it's going to be there at the coffee table at 5 a.m. in the morning when you're having a cup of coffee. It's just you and the Lord, and you open the Bible and you read something that was meant directly to speak to your heart. See, God wants to give us peace, but it's found through His word, not on Facebook, not on Twitter, not on YouTube, not on Instagram. See, if we were to take all the time that we use on Facebook, you know where I'm going with this. You know that Facebook says that the average person spends 90 minutes a day scrolling through Facebook. Not everyone. I think the statistic was actually like between like the ages of 16 and 28. Not everybody. But I think that's amazing. 90 minutes scrolling. Let's call it for what it is, looking at everyone else's business. Come on, somebody. Oh, that looks interesting. Let's pop on their profile. But we're looking at the wrong book. We're looking at the wrong book. Listen, let me just say this. When you're going through it and your life is bad, the last thing you want to do when you're in like a pity party is look on Facebook. Because rest assured, you're going to find everything that you're going through. You're going to see somebody else whose life seems all perfect, right? If you lost your job, don't look on Facebook, because you're going to look and you're going to find a post. I just got a new job. I just got a promotion. Right? If you had a girlfriend or boyfriend and you break up, the last thing you want to do is look on Facebook and look for somebody else. Come on, somebody. Singles. If your marriage is in turmoil, the last thing you want to do is start comparing your marriage to somebody else's on Facebook. Are you hearing me? We're looking at the wrong book. And lastly, number four, if we're going to live a lifestyle of peace, we have to learn to pursue it relentlessly. Hebrews 12, 14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. We can't be selective with who we want to be at peace with. It doesn't work that way. Now, I will say this, and as Brother Eric comes to the piano, I will say this. There are going to be times that you attempt to make peace with people, and there's nothing you're going to be able to do. You still have to maintain peace within your heart. You still have to make sure that you make your attempt. Don't use the, well, I'm not even going to try. They're not going to listen to me. Listen, try. You will be surprised what God can do with a humble heart. There are people within my life that maybe are not present right now that God's been dealing with me on. And I'm going to have to pick up the phone. And I would dare to say that there are some of you that maybe you're going to have to pick up the phone and find peace. But we have to be people that pursue peace. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning,